It is so good to be with you this morning. My name is Spencer. I am the middle school pastor here. And I love Baptism Sunday. It is so great. Growing up, it was like, seeing people get baptized, hearing stories of people choosing to follow God. I love it. I'm so excited. Who put this chair here? You know, I want to stand up. I want to get excited. So I'm honestly, it's my privilege to be with you this morning. Thank you so much. Today, we are still journeying through the desert, and it's felt like that in our lives through this pandemic. And it's so great to be reminded that God's still moving. People are still choosing to follow God in this time. And so, where we're at in the desert is we are at this ancient prayer. It's called the Shema. And so, it was quoted by Jesus as the greatest commandment. The Israelites themselves, they prayed it morning and evening, and it was the foundation of their faith. And so, open your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy 6, and then we're going to be looking at verses 4 to 9. And so, before I read it, do you see Lord there with all caps? That's the name of God. The name is Yahweh, and so I'm going to be using that name because the God we serve is a personal God that wants a relationship with us. So let's read together. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God, Yahweh is one. Love Yahweh, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right. So the Shema highlights that choosing Yahweh pulls us into a response of obedient devotion. And in all the testimonies that we heard this morning, we heard about, I decided to give Christianity a try. I chose to start trusting in Yahweh and what his plans for me. And so today what we see in this Shema is we see that we have to choose Yahweh, and that's our foundation, is to place him above all else. And we need the Shema today because we exist in a culture that's not neutral. We exist in a culture that's going to be pulling us to the gods of the age. And when we choose Yahweh, it pulls us into a response of obedient devotion. And I believe there are no neutral situations in our culture. We're either going to be pulled in one direction or the other. So, this is what I want us to do. For a second or two, think about your last week. I know this is hard. I barely remember what I had for dinner yesterday, actually. But think about your routines. Driving to work, coming home, making dinner. Maybe you had to do some chores. So Saturday, you vacuumed, you cleaned the washroom. I don't know what else. Maybe you had a blow up with someone. You were angry, or maybe there were times of immense joy. Bring that week to your mind. And we all had different weeks in our own ways, some better than others. But this is the key question I want us to focus on. How did your week differ than someone who doesn't follow the way of Jesus? See, we need the Shema because in choosing Yahweh, we're pulled into a response of obedient devotion. Often the problem with North American Christianity is we're apathetic, we're nominal, and we're focused on trying not to do something wrong instead of consciously making a choice to place Yahweh above all else in our lives. And in choosing apathy, We are pulled towards the gods of the age: sex, money, pleasure, escapism. And so no matter what, we're being pulled. Are you being pulled towards culture? Are you being pulled towards Yahweh? The choice is ours to make. And so we need to look to the Shema. And so I want to first paint the picture of where we're at in the desert. We've journeyed with Israel through this desert place. We've seen them get pulled in by the surrounding Canaanite culture, pulled into worshiping other gods, pulled into a distrust of Yahweh. Even though they've seen these miracles, the emancipation of slavery from Egypt, but their journey in the desert was marked by disobedience. Their wandering has pulled them towards the gods of the culture around them. And so now in the Israelite journey, we're at a critical point. Picture it. There's this new generation all standing around, and Moses is about to give them an address. He's about to remind them of the most important things. And so they're about to enter the promised land, the land that God promised them, that Yahweh promised them. And now, this new generation is like, what do we need to know, Moses? What is the most important thing? And in Deuteronomy, it's the summary, and the Shema that we're looking at is the summary of summaries. It's the foundation. It's upon which their whole faith was built. So, let's look at it. What does Moses say to this new generation? He says, "Hear, O Israel." The word "hear" in Hebrew is Shema. The word doesn't simply mean allow, you know, sound waves to enter your ear canal and recognize in your brain that you heard something. No, in Hebrew, hearing is tied to doing. To listen is to obey. So for example, you know, you're about to go to IKEA because you need some dishes, and your roommate is, leaving the dishes out all the time. And you say to him, you say, "Hey, can you please put the dishes in the dishwasher? I'm going to IKEA." So when you get home, you see the dishes are all put away. You'd probably say, "Thanks for listening. That's so nice. Thank you." And see how hearing is tied to obedience. That's what it is in Hebrew, to Shema. To listen is to obey. And so what are they supposed to hear? What are they supposed to obey? Verse 4, that Yahweh their God is one. Now, when I've heard this passage before, I always think this is a monotheistic statement, meaning that there's only one God. But as I was doing some research this week, that statement is true. But to the ancient Israelites, they were asking a different question. Old Testament scholar John Golden Gay writes this: "For Israel, the question was not merely whether there is one God, but who this God is, and whether people acknowledge this God and repudiate the others." So in other words, choose Yahweh above all else, above all other gods. Yahweh, their God, is one. See, Israel, like us, is steeped in this culture that's pulling them towards the gods of the age. What does this new generation need to hear? They need to hear that Yahweh, their God, is one. Yahweh is above all others. Choose Yahweh. And when we do that, we are pulled into a response of obedient devotion. And so moving into verse 5, we see what choosing Yahweh pulls us towards: a response of love. Love. Love the Lord your God. Love Yahweh your God. And love in this context isn't a warm, fuzzy feeling, you know, like when you get Birchwood dairy and you're sitting on a beach in Penticton and you're like, "Oh, I love this." No, it's not like that. And it's not this charged emotional feeling towards someone. Tim Mackey writes this: "In the Bible, love is action. You love someone when you act in loyalty and faithfulness." An English word that captures this is devotion. Now, this devotion to Yahweh is to be with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength, which is to say, our everything, our absolute everything. More than a 30-minute devotion in the morning, more than a prayer before bed, more than a kind word to a neighbor, more than a good thought about the government, more than volunteering on an evening, more than simply avoiding that which is wrong. Our devotion is with our whole heart, our soul, and our strength. So what is this getting at? It's to say our thinking, our forming of attitudes, our decision-making, our essential person, our whole expression of being, our essence is to be devoted to Yahweh. Moses goes on in verses 6 to 9 to emphasize this point, that every single day, morning and night, teach your kids this. He goes on to emphasize the importance of this choosing Yahweh. Because when we do that, it will affect every single aspect of our life and will be pulled into a response of obedient devotion. To obey is to love Yahweh. Jesus says, "Those that love me obey my commands." See, we get pulled in so many directions by our culture that isn't devoted to Yahweh. And if we don't give 100% of our allegiance to Him, if we don't choose Him above all else, there's no way that our heart, our soul, and our strength is going to reflect that. Instead, we'll be pulled into loving the gods of our culture, such as sex, money, pleasure, and escapism. So how has your week been any different from those that don't follow the way of Jesus? I feel this, that escapism. I love watching television and Netflix, and I'm pulled into this routine of disengaging in the world around me. And I choose that, sometimes unconsciously, right? I'm just going through my rhythms of life. But what we're called to do, what Moses is reminding us as we're standing there looking at him, he's telling us, choose Yahweh above all else, and it will affect every aspect of your life and pull you into a response of obedient devotion. Now, often, our choosing of Yahweh looks entirely like doing more for Him, following the rules. So when you think back on your week, how was it different than the culture around you? When you hear the command, love Yahweh your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, does it push you into simply doing more for Him? When I hear this choosing of Yahweh, you know, I imagine Jesus asking me at the end of my life, did you love me? Of course I loved you, Jesus. I was a pastor at a church. I served you. I spent years studying the Bible. I tried to help people. I tried to be kind. I followed the rules. Is that not what you wanted me to do for you? Perhaps you're also feeling the weight of doing things for God. God, look at my life. See what I've done for you. See the tears, the sweat all laid out there. Why all this weight with rules? Choosing you has brought rule after rule after rule, and I'm tired. It's too much. The weight is too much. How can I do all of this for you? Now, catch this, and let's allow it to change our prayer. Okay, this is the key, the antidote to the weight of legalism, of doing for. See, we don't do things for God, but because of God. This is a huge shift, okay? So we choose Yahweh because of what he did. The Israelites, they're standing there. Moses is telling them, choose Yahweh because look at what he's done for us. Look at his great saving love for us. The emancipation from Egypt was the biggest thing in their history at this point. And he's saying, look, that's the God that you're supposed to choose, that I'm calling you to choose. He loves you. He saved you. Respond in obedient devotion because of who he is. And for us today, we look to Jesus. We look to the great expression of Yahweh's love for us. We see Jesus die on a cross for us, the sinners, the disobedient, those that worship the gods of the age. We see him placed above us on a cross, pulling us across the desert towards his great saving love. This is who you're called to choose, a God that loves you, a God that saves us. Would you pray with me? Yahweh, you are one. You're above all else, and I'm tired of trying to do things for you. The weight is too much to bear. But you call us not to do things for you. Instead, you call us to do things because of who you are, of what you did. And so we choose Jesus. We choose to be pulled across the desert, pulled across our culture and into a response of obedient devotion to you. And we thank you. Thank you for loving us so much that you would do that for us, that you would save us, that you would save the Israelites, God. I thank you for your saving power in our lives. And so today we choose you, and we choose to be pulled into a response of obedient devotion. Amen. So today we saw four baptisms. We saw four declarations of people choosing Jesus because of who he is and what he has done. Their obedient devotion is born out of a response to his great love. Everything that they are, their desires, their hopes, their dreams, their forming attitudes, their opinions, their heart, soul, strength, absolutely everything is all placed under the water. It's all under there. And it's an act that shouts, I choose Jesus and I place him above all else. I'm committed to this new way of life. Thank you for saving me. Have you made that choice? I want to challenge you to think about it, to choose Yahweh and be pulled into a response of obedient devotion. Because what did your last week look like? What about your last week was different than those around you? Those that look upon the life of an apprentice of Jesus should be asking why. Why are they doing that? Why are they following these rules? Why are they kind to me? Why are they generous? Why are they self-sacrificial? Why do they think of me? And why do they love Jesus? And why are they getting baptized? Let the questions come, and let our response always be because he loves us. We love because he loves us. And we have no idea about where our culture is going, what the fallout from a pandemic is. We grasp at straws about where our culture might be going or end up. But imagine if, no matter what is next, you chose Jesus and you chose to respond to his great saving act on the cross. Imagine if all your hopes, your dreams, your forming attitudes, your essence, your heart, soul, and strength would place Yahweh above all else in your life. Imagine if today and every day going forward, the Shema was your prayer.